First, it discusses a few other psukim. Discusses first the pasuk in Vayechi. The Gemara takes note of the fact that the brothers of Yosef, after Yaakov dies in the very end of Sefer Bereishis, so the brothers of Yosef tell him that the father Yaakov had given an instruction that he should forgive them, which is a beautiful sentiment, except it doesn't seem to have been true. Seems that they were making it up. So that's terrible. That's geferlich. That's a violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So the Gemara says, no, not so terrible. That this is a statement of Ravi Loi, if I remember correctly, that's acceptable. That it's mutter, lishanos Midvar HaShalom. That since their intent was to keep the peace, so therefore it's permissible to what? To lie? So we'll say that for now. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't actually use that word, l'shaker. It uses the word l'shanos, which means perhaps more accurately to fudge, to change things a little bit. But for now, we'll call it lie, and we'll see whether or not that's an accurate translation. So the Gemara says it's permissible what they did, that they were changing the truth for the sake of Shalom. That is acceptable. While the second opinion of the Gemara, Reb Nosson, he disagrees. He says it's not permissible, l'shanos b'fnei ha-shalom, it's not mutter, it's a mitzvah. Mutter suggests that you have an option. You could choose to do it or not do it. So says Reb Nosson, it's not mutter, it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation. How do we know that? Because we have a story regarding Shmuel HaNavi, who was given the opportunity to have a big covet. He could swear in the new king, David, soon to be David HaMelech, and he was not interested in the honor because he said there's already a king, Shaul, and he has a shtickle of temper, and he's going to hear that I'm anointing somebody else. He's not really going to be too happy. So he says, Eich v'shama Shaul v'hargani, how can I go do this? Shaul's going to hear what's up. He's going to kill me. So to that, Akash Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I have a plan. You'll take an animal with you, and when you run into Shaul on the street, and Shaul says, Shmuel, where are you going? So you'll say, well, clearly I have an animal here. Obviously, I'm just bringing a carbon. I'm certainly not going to anoint any of the kings while you're here. Why would I ever do that? So clearly, I'm just bringing a carbon. Please don't kill me. So if that's the case, it seems like not only can we justify it after the fact, not only can we say that it's mutter l'shanos, but apparently Kadosh Baruch Hu might even set up the scenario in such a way and say that's the din, it's a mitzvah l'shanos. So there is some discussion about that already in the Rishonim and the later Sfarim as well, that it's hard to say that that's really such a perfect proof that it's mutter l'shanos b'fnei ha-shalom. It could be that was a situation of pikuach nefesh. He says, how can I go? They're going to kill me. V'shalom shol v'haragani. So why should that be a raya? So there are some who explain that the Rishon already discussed on this Gemara that there is a principle of shluchei mitzvah enim izokin. If somebody is on a mitzvah mission, so then he has a certain level of protection. When does that apply? How does that apply? All a good question. But on some level, that's the case. And we can presumably assume that if somebody has a one-time, direct, personalized mission from God, so then he presumably has protection. So therefore, some suggest, I believe it says like this in the Sefer Arech Meisharim, that physically, Shmuel was going to be protected. His life was not really at risk, even if he thought it was. It's just that emotionally there's still going to be a conflict, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's way is not to interfere with people's emotions, so therefore there's still going to be a machlokas. So the only way to address that, he had to have this plan to be able to get around it. So that brings us to this week's parsha, because there's a third opinion in the Gemara that takes things to another extreme. It says, forget about mutter and mitzvah, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself does this, or did this. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmo Shina B'nei HaShalom, because we find that when Avram is told that he's going to have a kid, he's going to have a child, and Sarah overhears this, so Sarah says, how could that be? You know how old my husband is? The Shaykh, he's such an old man. Can that possibly be? So immediately after that, the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reports this back to Avram, and it comes out a little differently. But it comes out that, yeah, you know, Sarah is skeptical about having a child. She said something about old. Right? Making it sound like she said that she was old, when really she said that he was old. So the Gemara seems to understand this as yet another example of Shin of Bnei Shalom, not only Mutter, not only Mitzvah, but even the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself willing to do this. So what we'd like to try to figure out a little bit is, so how does this work? Right? Don't we assume that Midvar Sheker Tirchak, that honesty is the best policy? Not just Stam, but halachically as well. So how does it happen that all of a sudden here you have a matzav where it is apparently mutter or mitzvah? What's going on? So one could say two different ways. One could say that what we have here is essentially a values clash. The pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, I think we can safely call it, the most famous pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, which is not a hard contest, but the one that talks about the Tanesim. So the pasuk says, the pasuk ends off, "Ha'emes ve'ashalom havu," and truth and peace were beloved. So what exactly does that mean? So there are some who understand that this is representing two different pillars of Judaism. And we try to live our lives with obedience to truth and to peace. So ideally, that'll be the case. We'll always accommodate both. What'll happen if there's a clash? What if they're mutually exclusive? So then you have to pick one. And how do you do that if they're equal? So if they really are equal, then it seems that they're both legitimate choices. So that could be the position of Mutter L'Shanos B'Fnei HaShalom, that it's acceptable to choose Shalom over Emes, Mutter L'Shanos, and it's also acceptable to go the other way. It's acceptable to choose Emes over Shalom and not to be Mishana. So what if I say, not that it's Mutter, but it's Mitzvah? What if I say it's a mitzvah? So then we could say the same type of idea. There's a clash between Shalom and Emes, but they're not equal. Maybe Shalom wins. It's a whole discussion in the Sfarim in general. The Maram Shikin is commentary Perkei Avos. There's a discussion about this based on the Mishnayos over there. And there are some who quote, in some of the Chassidish Sfarim, they quote an idea that you might say, well, listen, Emes is the biggest goal in the world because Emes is the chosam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, samtai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emesu, says the Gemara in Shabbos. God's seal is truth. So that's a pretty big deal. So they point out, yes, it is. But the Gemara also says in Davyud in Shabbos that Shalom is a Shem Hashem. That's an even bigger deal. That the name beats the seal. So the name, that's the essence. The seal is just representational. So, okay, so I have to figure out who wins in a clash between Shalom and Emes. So maybe it's 50-50, and maybe, no, it's not 50-50. Maybe Shalom is the clear victor. But you could also say differently. You could say that, no, it's not that there's a clash, but that in such a situation, we don't really have an Isser Sheker. Now we have to figure out what exactly is the Hagadara of the Isser Midvar Sheker Tirchak. On the one hand, one could say that the language of Tirchak is an unusual language. Normally, when the Torah wants to aser something, there are many different words that are acceptable to say don't. So what's pshat Tirchak? Stay away. So there are those who say, like the Sefer Achinuch, that it represents an extreme prohibition. It says, Meirov Tiyuvo, it's so disgusting that the Torah says, not just don't, but don't even come close. While there are others who say that no, that it's not so much that it's an extreme prohibition, maybe it's less of a prohibition. Maybe when the Torah wants to say don't, it says don't, and here it says, you know, avoid. Try to minimize. Tircha. So that's the big discussion, what exactly is the scope of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And there are those who theorize that it could parallel, let's say, American law. In American law, let's say, if I've been making up everything so far tonight, so that is not illegal in most states. Right? It may not be nice, but it's not punishable. So when does a lie become criminally punishable? Two cases. If you do it under oath, it's called perjury. Right? So there are some who understand the Midvar Sheker Terchak is specifically in a Bezdin kind of context, which is supported by some drushes in the Gemara in the middle of Shavuos. While there are others who understand that it parallels another crime, that another way in which you could go to jail for lying is if you defraud somebody, if you deprive somebody of money or the like by misleading them. So then that lie is a crime. And there are some who understand that's also the Isser Midvar Sheker Tirchak. The Sefer Yireim says like that, that if you're going to hurt somebody through lying, so then that's the Isser Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So there are those who then argue, if that's the case, so then maybe in this clash between Shalom and Sheker, you don't really have a fair fight, because Shalom is a mitzvah. And Sheker, in this case, if it's Laman HaShalom, that's not even Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Now, in general, even in neutral matters, there is still a value of emes. That's what Chosamta Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu emesu, and many other Divrei Shekarim, the pasuk says, you know, all of these other exhortations towards emes. However, in terms of being an actual prohibition, so then there are those who maintain the prohibition only applies if it's destructive. So if it's constructive, it could be that there's no iser in the first place, so therefore it's not a values clash, but Shalom is the clear victor. So essentially that gives us two models to understand what's going on here. Do we want to say that it's a clash between Shalom and Emes? And either it's 50-50 and Mutter Lashanos, or it's a slight edge for Shalom and Mitzvah Lashanos? Or we could say that no, it's not a clash, that Shalom is the only real value here, because if that's the situation, then it's not really even a case of Sheker that is prohibited. So this could have a number of nafkaminas, which we'll try to just look at quickly. One possible issue would be how we paskin on this machlokas in the Gemara. Is it mutter lashanos or is it a mitzvah lashanos? So that sounds like it's a machlokas harishonim, because there are those who point out that the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia, in the second parak, the Gemara talks about all of the situations where somebody is allowed to lie and it's not going to mess up his reputation. Because the Gemara says over there that a person is a person who wants to claim lost property has to bring proof. He has to bring simanim. And then he can get back his property. Unless he's a Talmud Chacham, if he's a somebody who has a reputation for being honest, who's not Mishana B'diburo, so then such a person, you can trust him. So the Gemara gives us a few examples of a situation where a person can say something that's not so true, and yet he'll still be considered honest, because these are all acceptable misrepresentations. So the Gemara says, Achsanya, if you want to misrepresent who gave you a great steak, so he shouldn't be descended upon by hungry neighbors, or Masechta, which sounds like you want to lie out of modesty, you want to misrepresent downward how much you know, or Puraya, which most Rishonim understand, it refers to a bed and refers to issues between a man and a wife. There is an interesting shot of the Marsha that it talks about Purim and whether or not you got drunk. But whatever it is, that's the third category. So some of the Rishonim ask, there's something missing from the list, right? What about Shalom? Person's Meshachar B'nei HaShalom. Shouldn't that also be on the list? So some say, Tosfos says, no, that is the list. All of these are subsets of Shalom. These are just examples of Meshachar B'nei HaShalom. While others say, like the Rush and the Rif, and say, no, the reason Shalom's not on the list is because Shalom's a mitzvah, so for sure you're not going to hurt your reputation if you fulfill a mitzvah. These are more optional categories. So you may have thought that maybe that's an issue, so the Gemara says no. So from those we've shown, you see that what's the psak? That's a mitzvah lashanos. While the Rambam seems to say mutter. So if that's the case, this could reflect these two principles, that perhaps the Rishonim will say mitzvah hold there really is no Isser Sheker here, and maybe the Rambam holds there really is an Isser Sheker and we're somewhat in tension. And that could also reflect itself in another question, because one could ask, what is the nature of this heter? So we mentioned in the beginning that the Gemara really doesn't say l'shaker, which would have been a more usual word for lying. And the fact that it says l'shanos, which has a softer connotation, maybe that's intentional. Maybe the Gemara is trying to say that we wouldn't necessarily sign off on full-blown lying. We will allow minor misrepresentation. So that itself is the machlokas, and the Rambam there, maybe l'shitas, so the Rambam doesn't say l'shaker or even l'shanos, if I remember correctly. He says l'hosif l'groa, that one is permitted to add a little bit and to take away a little bit. So it sounds like the Rambam is essentially also, again here, concerned that we don't want to allow blatant sheker, because we're not saying that there's no iser sheker, we're saying there is a concern of sheker, it's just overwhelmed by the shalom. But if it's possible to minimize the sheker, that would be advisable. So indeed, the Chafetz Chaim in that sefer says that ideally one would avoid flat-out lying in these circumstances, but if he can't, he's allowed to say what he has to say. So this consideration, this issue, could play out in a couple of other details. For example, there's also a discussion. There are those who maintain that the Tshuva Z'Adaliyo, for example, points out that this hat to Lashanos, this applies once in a while. But to make a habit of it would be wrong. So it seems like he's understanding that it's not there's no sheker here. There is sheker. It's just that it's pushed off with Neh Shalom. So once in a while, It could be pushed off. Rabbi Aaron Levine, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, my Rebbe from economics here. So he wrote once that he thinks also another reflection of this halacha is that even though this is true, that's mutter l'shano. So for example, if you're very busy and you have no time to speak to somebody, and he's going to call your house, he's going to be very offended if you say you don't want to speak to him. So if your wife wants to say to him that you're not home, so presumably that's mutter l'shano v'sneh shalom. But, says Rabbi Levine, it's okay for your wife to say it. It's not a good idea for your 5-year-old son to say it, because he's not going to understand the distinction, and that's going to be an issue of chinuch. So an adult has a heter for this, but since there's still a concern of learning sheker, so it's not right for a child, because it's going to be habit forming. So this is also perhaps manifesting itself in other issues also. One of the more famous sugyas about the Pnei Shalom is the Mishnah in Ksubis. The Mishnah says that, a very famous Mishnah because of all the bands that play at the weddings. So they say, Ketza Meraktim Lufnei HaKala. So what's the answer? So you might think the answer is Kala Nova Chasuda. But what the bands don't tell you is that it's a Machlokas. And they leave out the other opinion. Because Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, who says Kalanov v'chasuda, Beis Shammai says, what if you're not so impressed? So what about Midvar Sheker Tirchok? You're going to say Kalanov v'chasuda? Presumably not. Says Beis Shammai. So he says, you have to say Kala Kamoishi, which does not mean, presumably, that you should get up there and sing ugly Kala, ugly Kala. It means you say something that you can get behind. Willing to go out with him. Something that's true. So if that's the case, one could ask the question, so Beis Shammai is firmer than God? We saw three opinions in the Gemara, right? But nobody says, Aser l'shanos, we saw mutter, mitzvah, and God does it. What's pshat in Beis Shammai? So I saw in the Sefer, Keich v'Yitzchak, or Rav Yitzchak Sternhill, wanted to suggest that the machlokas is that Beis Shammai lived a very long time ago. So what? So they didn't have video cameras yet. Okay. So the significance of that is that when the members of Beis Shammai went to a wedding, so nobody stuck a video camera in their face and said, so no, what do you think of the Kala? Had they done that, says the Koch v'Yitzchak, they would have said, oh, Kala nol v'chasuda. But since in their day nobody was asking, so Beis Shammai says, I'm not mechuyev to get out and jump in the middle of the circle and start screaming Kalam Nava Chasuda if I don't believe it. And Achanami, if I'm up against the wall, so I'll say what I have to say. But if nobody's asking me, why should I say something I don't believe in? So apparently, if that's the case, if that's their view, so it seems that Beis Hillel believes that it's mutter even proactively to say something, even when you're not forced. So perhaps this is the same issue here, that Beis Hillel believes that there's really no Isser Sheker, so therefore Shalom is the clear imperative. While Beis Shammai believes there is an Isser Sheker, so there's a balance here, so ideally, if you don't have to choose, you're not going to choose. This could also represent itself in a few other examples. For example, the Rambam famously says that a person should always take the middle path in life, the Derech HaMemutza. But, as is noted, and even Lagon comments on, that there are situations when, temporarily, a person should go to an extreme. If a person is finding himself already at the one extreme, so that sometimes, temporarily, he needs to go to the opposite extreme in order to bring things back into line. So based on that, an anonymous Chacham once wrote a letter to Rav Kook and said that this idea, Mutl Shanas Na Shalom, that's for the average person who tries to tell the truth most of the time. So then, if there's a unique situation, he could be Mishana. But somebody who is at one extreme, who has issues with dishonesty, and has to correct that, has to go to the other end of the spectrum, so such a person shouldn't be Mishana even now shown. To which Rav Kook responded, it's printed in the Sefer Tov Roi in Subis, on this Mishnah. So Rav Kook responded, well, how could you do that? It's a mitzvah l'shanas b'nei Hashem. It's not optional. So you'll do your self-improvement program on your own time. But if you have a mitzvah, so then you have to step up to the plate and do what you have to do. So it seems to be the same machlokas, that Rav Kook holds that there's no Isser Sheker here, so Shalom is the clear imperative. And this anonymous Chacham presumably thought that there was a tension here, and therefore the average person is allowed to pick what he thinks is right, but the person who's had issues with Shalom, or issues with Sheker, rather, has to bring things back into sync. There's also, I think there's a Chassam Sofer in his commentary to Shabbos. I couldn't find it when I looked for it again more recently, but it could be Mishana and assume that it's there, Shalom, that the Chassam Sofer says that when you're wearing tefillin, so the Gemara, we know the din is a person has to keep a guf noki. A person has to keep a clean body. So, says the Chassam Sofer, that's not only physically, that's also spiritually. So what does that mean? He says you shouldn't lie with tefillin on. Zayib, you shouldn't lie without tefillin on either. So he said, even if they're shalom. So if somebody comes and asks you, you know, what do you think of my new suit? So you say, hold on a second. Let me take off your tefillin, then you answer. Or somebody pointed out, maybe you can say, I'm makbid never to speak with tefillin on, and then it becomes a shayla whether you can say that. So in any event, so what's the Chassam Sofer apparently saying? Apparently saying that really it is sheker, and it's bad. We allow it, but it's still sheker. So it's still offensive to tefillin. So it's like, essentially, it's like going to the bathroom. You have to do it, but you take a tefillin off first. It's not consistent with tefillin. So too, maybe you have to do this. You have to be mishanat nei shalom, but it's still sheker, and therefore it's still offensive to the tefillin. So this could perhaps help us to understand a surprising psak of the Sefer Chassidim that's quoted in the Magen Avraham. So that might make it authoritative, although later Svarim didn't think it was the real din. It would be quite a chumrah. Sefer Chassidim seems to say something along the following lines. All of us are here in Washington Heights. So we know on the streets in Washington Heights and in Yerushalayim, it's often the case that people come up to you and ask you for money. So the minig is to say, I don't have any money, even if you do have money. So many assume that that's permissible, because if Nash Shalom, you know, you could instead say to the guy, you know, it's funny you should ask, I have a ton of money, I'm just really not interested in giving any of it to you, I'm going to spend it on my own luxuries, thank you for asking. So since that's not going to result in a safe conversation for you, so maybe better L'shakar B'Nash Shalom. So that's how many assume is the case, and it's probably true. But the Sefer Chassidim seem to object. The Sefer Chassidim seem to say that this is not a situation we say Mutl Lashanos, because the Hel Heter Lashanos is only about things in the past. But things in the present or in the future, that you're not allowed to be Mishana. Where do you get that from? That's a very surprising distinction. And as Chida and others have commented on the Sefer Chasidim, they point out that this seems to contradict some of the examples. Masechta, that's in the past. What exactly are we saying? Kalanav Chasud is in the past. So, what's you want to comment on that?
Doesn't it contradict the Svarim Shmuel?
Seems to contradict that as well. Yes, Svarim ask about that also. So, what's Pshat? So, I thought you could suggest that what Sefer Chasidim means is as follows. That it's true that if you have a clash, you have to choose Sheker or Shalom. So fine, you have the right to choose Shalom. Our MS and Shalom, the right to choose Shalom. But what if there's a third choice? Third alternative. Stephen Covey, it's one of the Nevi'i Umas HaOlam, that came out with a book they call The Third Alternative. So what if there's a third alternative? So you have an option here that, yes, it's true, somebody asks you for money and you don't want to give it to him. So you have really three choices. You could say, I don't have any money, it'd be Mashana. You could say, I have so much money, I'm just not giving any of it to you. Right? That's going to start a fight. Or you have a third option. You could give them the money. You may not want to do that, but it's a way to neither lie nor break the peace. So that maybe what the Sefer Chasidim is saying is that really this heter to be Mishana is only a heter that recognizes a values clash here. So to whatever extent you can preserve both values, better you should do that. So what does he mean when he talks about the past tense? He means that if the facts are set in stone, and now all you can do is either lie or start a fight, so then you have the right to lie. But if the situation is still present or future, meaning there's still some influence you can have on the facts, so then better to look for this third option rather than do either compromise of the Torah's value system. So that's a very powerful insight. And that perhaps is an appropriate way to end this discussion. That this reflects some of the challenge that we have in trying to bring about both of these values in harmony. But we recognize that if we're able to do this, so the Navi promises us, Emes v'shalom ahavu, so these are the qualities which, when they are fully realized, the fast days, Yule Beis Yehud L'Sas and L'Simcha, that's what will bring the ultimate Geula. So it's an important midah to keep in mind, both trying to bring Shalom and Emes into harmony, and it should be a bracha that we're successful in doing so. Wish everyone a fantastic night, a fantastic week, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll get off to an earlier start next week. Okay, Yashikar. Everybody should be well. Hi.